Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You had a nice rest? Slept well? Are you fresh? That's very important. Make sure that you are not permitted to sleep here. Okay. Today we have a few announcements here before we begin the session, the teaching session. Initially, I would like to call Mr. Doran Harper Lee to come up and brief all the students here at Thubten Thorgaling about the financial status of this organization. And Doran has been looking after financial matter of this organization for a long time, since he was appointed by Geshe-la, late Geshe-la, long time ago. And all these years, he has been taking care of all these things, the financial matters, very well. And at presently, he's looking after the financial matters, and he's the financial director of the center. So I thought it is very important to announce everything and have a sense of transparency, so everyone should understand how the center is run, what is the present situation of the center, and what should be done in the future, and all those things. This kind of organization definitely have an expenditure. Nothing can move forward without any expenditure, without any expenses. So to cover up that, those expenses, we also need a source of income. And we do have some of those things. And in detail, Doran is going to report from where we are getting money and where the monies are going on. And if there is a deficit, what is the deficit? And if there is a surplus, what is the surplus? And all those things. So I think it is very important that everyone should get these information when you are still fresh, in the beginning of the session, not the end of the session, when you are kind of, you know, worn out a little bit. So let's call Doran here to brief you up while you are fresh and have the information kind of stopped. Whenever you need, you may have it recalled. Okay? Thank you. Please carry on, Doran.
Thank you, Rinpoche. Is it okay if I sit here and...
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It's a bit easier for me. Okay. Okay, I'll do as much of this from my memory as I possibly can, and so if I omit a statement, I apologize on behalf of Thubten Thorgaling and Geshe Losa Sundram Gelson, and Ken Rinpoche and Ganden Charse Monastery, and the transition between Thubten Thorgaling and Ganden Charse Monastery. It's a really pleasure to be honored to continue working for Geshe Gelson and the monastery in the position that I'm in. And I think that we try with the people that we utilize to invest our financial monies that are available to do the best job they can. And fortunately, right now, everything seems to be in a positive picture. 6 or 8 months ago, it wasn't so good in the financial market. But anyway, that's to be forthcoming and see how it goes. But in 2008, Geshe Gelson, by the kindness of one very, very important friend of his, bequeathed to him, for his discretion as to how to use, a total of $6 million. So, by the fortunes and graces of this individual, whose name was Walter Drake, who passed away from Colorado, he left Tupin Dargie Ling $6 million. And in the beginning, we had lots of discussions as to how we were going to utilize this monies for the benefit of the Dharma and the benefit of many, many people and many things. And before Geshe-la passed away, and way, way before then, he created a list of how he would like this money to be given. And he established, of the $6 million, a $1 million donation to Tupten Dargye Ling directly to be kept into a separate account so that it could be provided as an insurance policy for Tupten Dargye Ling's future, with the intent that the principal hopefully would not be spent, that the interest would be utilized to help any shortfalls and help with some of the funding and processes that Tupten Dargye Ling and Geshe-la himself wished for those proceeds to be spent. So from 2008 to 2009, we had a really good year in the financial market, and so we made a lot of increase in value of that portfolio. And also during that first interim time of the $6 million, it was split like this, okay? So make your notes or remember this. So of the $6 million, $1 million was donated to Tupten Dargye Ling. $1 million was donated to the benefit of whatever His Holiness the Dalai Lama would like to see monies go towards funding any special projects that he has or would like to see funded. $1 million was donated to Ganden Charse Monastery for the benefit of the monastery for, and everything that I'm going to be saying here following mostly is in the form of trusts or grants to the various institutions that are going to be mentioned here for the to provide a grant that's where the principal is not to be spent, but the interest from that principal is to be spent primarily for food for the benefit of the monks of Ganden Charse Monastery and other monasteries that I'm going about to mention. So we as a center have been working with Robin Hart, who's not here today. She's in Washington, D.C. or on her way there. And Geshe Losol Sultram, who's not feeling well today, and he's not going to be here today. He's upstairs resting. And myself and a few other students have been working with getting these grants established to these organizations that I'm going to be mentioning. To be able to send a grant to India, which is where these monasteries and nunneries are located, they need to have what you call FRCA status in India. That means that they are a nonprofit corporation and their banks are allowed to hold a grant fund, and then the money is spent, the interest is taken out of that fund for the providing of food for the monks of the various and nuns from the various institutions. So far, we have sent $500,000 to Ganden Charse Monastery, and they have sent us an annual report of how that money's interest has been made and how that money has gone to for feeding the monks. Okay? And each organization that has been given this money has to provide to Tupten Dargye Ling on an annual basis. It's the board of directors' responsibility to receive this information and to maintain it in our files so that we validate that the monies that we are offering or that is being given is being used properly. And there's a formal grant process that's involved in doing this. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that, but you can get that information from me later if you wish. The second $500,000 to Ganden Charse Monastery will be sent very soon. Okay. So that's $3 million right there. $500,000, by the way, for His Holiness's projects, right away in 2009, I believe. I'm not positive about that. Maybe 2008. We were able to send $500,000 to Tokyo to open up the Office of Tibet in Tokyo. That helped His Holiness's organization, the Office of Tibet, political organization, to open up an office in Tokyo. That gave them the down payment for their office facility. The second $500,000 for His Holiness's projects, I have received today a letter from His Holiness's office that would like to keep that $500,000 here in an investment separate account. So as of the next week, we will put into that account roughly $536,000, because as of when this letter was written and as of today, the value of that $500,000, had it been invested in the portfolio that's in now, would have increased in value from $500,000 to $536,000. So we're making the commitment, if everything works out right, as the stock market goes up and down, it's in the equities and bonds, that portion of that portfolio will go into that account that is designated for His directive of His Holiness, His office. Not Him personally, but His office, to support projects that His Holiness wants to go to. The second $500,000 to Gan and Charse Monastery will be sent also very soon. Again, another grant has to be formed and filled and signed by them to allow for this money to go into a fund that provides food for the monks. Now, just a point of note here. Tutan Dargyu Ling and Gan and Charse Monastery together are going to really work hard for the success of Gan and Charse Monastery as well as TDL. It requires approximately $2.2 or $2.4 million in a fund that would provide enough money from the interest of that fund to feed all the monks at Gan and Charse Monastery. So there's a goal there someday that we might hope to be able to provide. Someone that's very, very kind in this world that has a lot of money can go to this kind of funding in the future. And we would really love to help provide for that, just as a note to the internet people and those that are here that might know somebody who's really kind like that. Okay, now the rest of the funds. There's $3 million left. Okay? $300,000 went to Drepung Losaling in Mungod, India. $300,000 went to Drepung Gomang in India. Drepung is two monasteries, and so there's $300,000 for each of those two, again, in a grant, and they've reported that they've spent the interest from those monies to us, and we're also waiting for reports because it's an annual thing, and over the year we've been able to get some of them funded right away and some of them toward the end of the year, so they don't have to report till later on this year. $300,000 went to Sarah J. Monastery in Mysore, India. $300,000 went to Sarah May in Mysore, India. Again, two divisions of Sarah Monastery. $300,000 went to Ganden Jangse, which is the sister monastery from Ganden Charse. And then $300,000 went to a very special festival that's held every year, the Lama Tsongkhapa Monlam Festival. It's an annual festival that's held every year, and Geshe wanted to provide money for them to be able to feed those monks that come to that festival on an annual basis. So it took a bit of time for Ganden Charse and Sarah J. and Drepung to coordinate a representative from each of those monasteries to be in an office at Gan and Charse Monastery that would manage these funds and make the commitment to make sure that these funds, these grants, and these interests from these grants are used for those festivals. I say those because the next one is $100,000 for Jangyang Guncho. I'm not sure about these. Maybe Rinpoche could elaborate that if there's time sometime. Or we can talk about that. I'm not sure about these festivals, but it's right around Losar time that these are held, and all the monks from the three monasteries come together, and they rotate from one monastery to the other between Gan and Charse and Drepung and the various aspects of them from year to year, and sometimes Sarah monks come to join that because they're a lot further away from from these two monasteries. Okay, I'm going on too much. Anyway, $100,000 went to Gyuto Monastery in India. $100,000 went to Gyume Monastery in India. $100,000 went to Namgyal Monastery in Dharamsala, India. $150,000 went to Ganden Charse Lopa Khonsen. Now, Ganden Charse Lopa Khonsen. Geshe Gelsen came from a certain part of Tibet. And in the monasteries, there are, in Ganden Charse Monastery specifically, there are what we call 11 houses. And one of those 11 houses is Lopa Khonsen. And Lopa Khonsen is the house that Geshe Gelsen belonged to. So he wanted to make sure that that house of the 11 had enough funds to be able to provide for food for their house. So in that house there are hundreds, some 200-some monks that are there. And there are people like Annie, who knows a lot of the young boys and that are there at the monastery. She's been there many times. So if anyone wants to know about Lopa Khonsan, Annie can give you a lot of good information about that. Then there is a division of a Lopa house that's in each of the other monasteries. So $30,000 went to Drepung Lopa. $30,000 went to Sarah Monastery Lopa in India. $25,000 is going to be going to Sakya Monastery in India. We are going to give that $25,000 directly to Sakya Trinzin when we have an opportunity to do so. $10,000 has gone to the Nyingma Monastery in Mungo, India. Yeah, Ganden Charse has other divisions of the Tibetan tradition within their same boundaries. And there's a small Nyingma Monastery within Ganden Charse's kind of border, and Geshe wanted to make sure that they had some money for their small group of people there. For example, and that was sent on February 16th of this year, so that's recent money that was sent. $10,000 for Karmapa Kagyu Monastery in Mungo, India. That has not been funded yet. $25,000 for Tashi Lumpo in Mysore. And that was sent in July of last year. $25,000 went to Dzongkha Choden Monastery. I hope I pronounced that right. Now, some of these that are coming down the list here haven't been funded yet because they don't have the arrangement yet for FRCA status. And so through the nunnery project or through other projects, we hope to be able to work out a relationship with the nunneries to be able to get them their funds because they are in desperate need of them for sure. So $25,000 is for Ganden Choling Nunnery in Dharamsala. $25,000 is for Droma Ling Nunnery in Lower Dharamsala. Inserting this as $50,000 is for the Mungod Elders Home. And we're again waiting for that to be able to be funded through the Dharamsala office. $25,000 for Jangchup Choling Nunnery in Mungod, India. $25,000 for Sherub Choling Nunnery in Institute in Spiti, India. $20,000 for one of Geshe Gelson's projects, which I'll mention in a few minutes, is to go for the blind school in Mungod, India. Geshe-la, a lot of students came to Geshe-la because he was like a piece of candy. And as ants, we really love to have candy. And so people would offer money to Geshe-la, not on behalf of Fort Thubten Dargye Ling's benefit, but for projects that Geshe-la was close to his heart on. And the blind school in India was one of those projects that Geshe-la was very close to. It was quite incredible to see those students come when Geshe-la's body went to India to do the cremation and how they revered and respected what Geshe-la did for them. So this money is also going to be put into a fund that's going to provide for them an annual income. Not a lot, but $20,000 in India can go a long way. And then after all of these funds have been done, $50,000 is to go to the International Campaign for Tibet in Washington, D.C. Now, all of the monies that I've just mentioned so far totals $5,750,000. So if you've done your notes and made your math, you can validate that or not. There's a remainder of $250,000 that we are holding back to be able to use if we were to be challenged by some unknown individual or people that would object to what we're doing. So it would be for our defense, so to speak. But if that we don't need that, Geshe-la said, please use this remainder to be contributed where it is needed most for the hungry and poor. And he said, also, I would like for some monies to go to the education and schools in Tibet, especially in Amdo, home of the 14th Dalai Lama. Now, this may be something very difficult to do because of the situation in Tibet, but it was just a statement that Geshe-la signed and wrote as he was designating how he'd like this money to be spent. So, right now in the funds that we have, we are able and capable to take care of all of those. And we've had the privilege of having these funds invested in accounts within the Financial Institution of Merrill Lynch, and these men have done a very wonderful job in keeping our funds in a profitable situation as best as possible with the current market the way that is. We had asked them to invest everything in, I will say, green kind of investments that are not involving any kind of military expenditures. So any of the bonds that we invested in had to be designated for non-military bonds so that the interest from those bonds could be used to fund various things. And the rest of it, half of it, was put into equities, which is the stock market. And again, we requested that no stocks be invested in that make military weapons or that make things that would help some other government suppress people. So that's basically an announcement about the kindness of one individual and what one individual was able to do through Thupten Dargye Ling, and what Thupten Dargye Ling has been able to do through the auspices of Geshe Gelson and the continuing auspices of Gananchartsy Monastery to fulfill his wishes. And it is in the intent of the monastery, I will say, that as long as we can thrive and survive as Thupten Dargye Ling, we will be able to do projects like this in the future and to provide a venue for kind benefactors who are like Walter Drake to be able to do something like this as they transition into their next lifetime. Basically, that means a bequeathment. And these teachings are quite appropriate, that the beginning of these teachings on Friday night, Rinpoche mentioned the project of Geshe Gelson's statue. So what have we been doing with this $1 million? Okay, so this $1 million, we've been earning some interest from this $1 million. We used a lot of this proceeds and extra as the market performed well to cover a lot of the expenses for Geshe Gelson's last few years of his precious life and to facilitate the ability to take care of any shortfalls that we weren't able to raise from the funds and the kindness of you students here who donate to us on a monthly basis. Our organization is quite unique. We don't have membership where people buy or pay to be members of this organization. We also have the great honor and privilege to be a center that doesn't charge money for the teachings that we provide through the kindnesses of our teachers who believe to follow the tradition of Geshe Gelson. We also provide the ability for what we call the Archive Project to flourish by providing free books, free internet access to all of the archive teachings of all of the teachings that we've been able to put onto the internet since its inception. Not the internet's inception, but since we were able to do so here at TDL. In low resolution, low quality, someday to be high resolution, high quality, to be someday able on a speedier download in a more accessible way, but within the principles and the guidelines that are established for providing internet teachings that will be mostly, of course, Lam Rim based and not tantric based, as Rinpoche was making an announcement about Friday, which I appreciate very much. And you will too, as you get closer to that opportunity. So, we have a situation where we have monks coming from Gananchartsy Monastery to be here, along with the teacher, Geshe Funtsa Gelson, who's a wonderful, fully qualified, one of the highest teachers at Gananchartsy Monastery, who can provide anything that we would need. He is capable of giving tantric initiations, tantric commentaries, retreat instructions, retreat pujas, these kind of advanced things that some of us have been privileged to receive from great teachers like Gyabjo Lhotse Rinpoche, Gyabjo Tsong Rinpoche, His Holiness, and other great masters. Geshe-la even was kind enough to give us a few initiations that were very special. So like that, that gives us the introduction to tantric practice, that gives us the ability to hear commentaries that if we were all practitioners could receive today. But anyway, back to the point, Thubten Dargye Ling has a budget requirement to succeed in bringing the monks over here and making this a monastery, approximately $12,000 to $13,000 a month. The Walter Drake funds by the kindness of Walter Drake, which we will remember for as long as we possibly can in this life, we are being able to pull $5,000 a month approximately from the funds income, from the $1 million, to subside or take care of the shortfalls that Thubten Dargye Ling has been realizing over these, especially this last few years since Geshe-la has passed away. Because, again, as well eloquently explained, Geshe-la was like a piece of candy, you know, and a lot of us swarmed to him to receive from him what we got. And we gave a lot to Geshe-la to do what he's been able to do over his lifetime. And we hope to continue that through his projects and things. And I say his projects, these projects need to be defined. And his projects were I'll mention them because they're in the agreement in the contract between the monastery and Thubten Dargye Ling to see the transition to be Ganen Charse Thubten Dargye Ling, we hope someday soon. There's a Hunsur Tibetan school that receives 40,000 rupees a year from Geshe-la's kindness. There's a sponsorship of 35 monks and nuns from Tibet that Geshe-la gave through his kindness of 35,700 rupees per year. There is a sponsorship of 10 Tibetan school children in the amount of 72,000 rupees per year. There is the Ganden Sharse Vinaya teachings that he donated 100,000 rupees per year. There was the Mungod Tibetan Seniors Home that he kindly gave 529,500 rupees per year. These are specific projects that, because of the kindness of you students here, gave to Geshe-la for his projects, not for the benefit of Thubten Dargye Ling. That totals about $16,500 a year in U.S. dollars. So as long as we possibly can at Thubten Dargye Ling, we will try to continue to raise these funds for those projects in the name and honor of Geshe-la. So it is the idea from our board meeting yesterday that we had, our second board meeting with the kindness of Ken Rinpoche's presence for a long 4 hours plus, that we came to resolution to make sure that those that are concerned of whether or not Geshe-la's ideas of transition to Ganen Charse Monastery, we pursue and continue his kind wishes and his thoughts. And it is a dire desire of Ganen Charse Monastery and Ken Rinpoche, who is our spiritual director. The spiritual director of Thubten Dargye Ling will always be whoever the abbot of Ganen Charse Monastery is. And Geshe Losan Sotrim La, who is not here, he's not feeling well today. He is the CEO and managing director of Thubten Dargye Ling. I am the CFO and board member of Thubten Dargye Ling. Robin Hart is the secretary officer of Thubten Dargye Ling and board member. And we have Yen Nguyen and B.B. Do, who are the new board members of Thubten Dargye Ling. We hope that any students that need to or want to get more information, approach any of us at any time to ask your questions. We'd be more than happy to share with you whatever it is that we know. And we are really anxious to look for volunteers and support groups to help us take care of the shortfall. Again, I mentioned that our expenses will be around between $13,000 a month, and we've been using $5,000 a month or more from the proceeds of the $1 million to make up for shortfalls. So that might let you know that we have a shortfall. Now, we have had the kindness of many students who helped us take care of things like the roof that was replaced, you know, and through the kindness of Lee Pham and the Vietnamese students and also Western students, we've been able to make sure we've been able to take care of some of these things without invading the principal. again, that's an insurance policy. And the market is, again, an investment market that has its ups and downs. And we are very confident in the men that are responsible for making sure that our funds are kept well and safe. And we hope that that stays that way also, but we also need a support group. And we will be approaching our students here for that opportunity to create merit and continue Geshe-la's wishes. And I'm talking too much.
Are you done, Doran?
Please, if I miss anything,
okay.
Go on.
Thank you very much, Doran, for your very kind of clear and detailed information. I believe everyone will be very happy to hear the details of the account and what are the receipts and what are the expenses and what is the accounting kind of balance sheet situation of the organization. The announcement was done with some purpose, basically as Doran have explained. We need to address the kindness of those persons with whose kindness we are benefiting today. It's very important that we should always address those things. Of course, I feel that in this gathering of the students, there could be students who may not effort to come up with any donation, but you don't need to feel bad for that. If you benefit from other person's hard work and other person's contribution, rejoice it and be happy for that and dedicate your merit for their benefit. That is at least something you can do. We all can do. Even the poorest can do. So that is very important. Besides the Walter Drake Fund, I believe there are kind of good donors in the students here, like stable donor. One of them is Doran Harper, who has been constantly donating a lot to keep this center alive throughout the time when great venerable Geshe-la was alive, and even now. And then we do have other students like Lee Pham and family. They have been contributing a lot for all the time. And beside that, there are like a person like Father Sigal, who has been contributing a lot. So there are a whole lot of names. I have to say sorry that I cannot remember all the names. If some important names are left over, please don't feel other way. It is surely because of not capable to remember those things, not with an intention to harm your feelings and hurt your thoughts and something like that. So in future, as Doran have hinted, we look forward to create a support group where students can join in voluntarily. No one will be imposed any kind of commitment. So students can join in voluntarily to commit themselves to come up with any kind of donation. It may range from $5 to $50 or maybe $100, whatever else. So we are going to create a support group. The role of support group is just to donate, to see the organization functioning. That is all. And we are also looking forward to have an online option to donate, because I believe that There are a whole lot of students outside this room, listening to the teachings online. And I believe that there could be a lot of students out there who may wish to donate. So it's once again voluntarily. If there is anyone willing to donate, we are going to have access for online donating, where they can go online and donate any amount from 5 to 100 or 50, whatever they like. No one should feel any kind of imposing. It's very important. We would like to keep the spirit of this organization alive. All those Sunday teachings, whatever Geshe-la used to do free, we would like to keep it alive like that. Our idea is Dharma should be accessible to everyone. Will it be rich or will it be a poor? So that is our idea. That is our principle. We like to live with those principles. Now, beside that, it could be possible that we may come up with a program which we have been discussing for some time, an extended kind of a Buddhist studies program. But those could be different. Those could be charged. That is a different one. But the regular Sunday teachings, what we have been doing for all these years, under the guidance of Geshe-la, will definitely go on like that in future too. So this is something that every one of you should understand. And if there are ideas and good ideas to make this organization flourish and expand, you're most welcome to come up with. You're not an outsider. You are a person connected to this organization. You are a part of this organization. As a part of this organization, everyone has a right to think about how to improve it, how to make it develop and flourish. So these are a few remarks that I would like to put forward here at this time. And I think it's not necessary to go in detail about what is Jangbunche and all those things. If any one of you are interested, we can discuss it in private. Simply to put it in simple words, in a simple idea, I think just imagine like this. If you have three very famous universities who are specially, kind of very, very specialized in the field of science, then these universities have a program together every year for 1 month where they share their knowledge and experience in the field of science and try to improve understanding of each other through that process. If you have that kind of program in United States, then the monastic intermonastic debate meets within the monastic communities. The Jangbunche is like that, where the monastic scholars and the students meet together every year, and they display their skills and they debate against each other, try to kind of deepen their understanding of the teachings and understanding based on an in-depth analysis and reasoning, and which is very helpful to improve the skills of our students. So Jangbunche is like that kind of process. So besides that, there are a whole lot of organizations' name that is announced. We cannot go in detail of all those things. So it's like that. Now we should better begin with the session. So initially we are going to read the Heart Sutra, and then we will do the mandala offering. Okay, so all of you are ready. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem. Thus did I hear at one time the Bhagavana was dwelling on masses of Melter Mountain in Rajagriha, together with a great community of monks and the great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavana was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form, emptiness is not other than form, form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, composition factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unseized, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There is no eye element and so on, up and including no mind element and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on up to and including no aging and death, and no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and part. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom. The mind without obscuration and without fear, having completely passed beyond error. They reach the end point of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly, completely awakened to unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment and reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering should be known as truth since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared: Daya tha om gate gate para gate para sangate bodhi so. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan rose from all the concentration and commended the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage, it is like that, it is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you have indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entirety along with the wolves of God, humans, asuras and gandharvas were overjoyed and highly praised that spoken by the Bhagavan. Kala jebe ne jo thamba ne ngu shi tu du nga we tu do jin du ba bo la ma ye pu shi sin ne zung kang du so la cha se lo a ka sam na shi. Aga samara da shadara samara ya pe giri donda gyaju shiva dan midu nebe gendan timba gyujin puzun so gyube dashi te gyan tingdiri de le yo juji me do dhamma rirva nishi nyinde gyan sangye shindu migde rupu namda shimba jiva. Now listen to the discourse with a proper motivation cultivated deeply in yourself. The best motivation is a deep sense of willingness to achieve the Buddhahood in order to benefit all the sentient beings. Then next to it is a deep sense of willingness to liberate oneself from the samsaric existence. And then at least one should have the mind of refuge cultivated deeply in oneself. Means relying upon the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha from the depth of one's heart. So that kind of proper motivation is cultivate within yourself and listen to the discourse with that kind of motivation. Now, we are at the 8th dissolution, the final dissolution, the final stage of the path, the final stage of the death. And the final stage of the death, the text reads like this: when the mind of near attainment dissolved into the clear light, the second portion of the mind of near attainment, that is without mindfulness, is cleared away. Without even the slightest coarse dualistic appearance, an appearance of very clear vacuity dawns. It is like the natural color of a down sky in autumn, free of the three causes of pollution, moonlight, sunlight, and darkness. This appearance is like that of a consciousness in meditative equipoise, directly realizing emptiness. So, this stage is named the dissolution of near attainment into the clear light, and that is the final stage of the death. Now, at that stage, what happens? During the seventh stage, at the end of the seventh stage of the dissolution, we have gone through the appearance named the black or dark appearance. So, while we are in that stage, the seventh stage, we maintain that dark appearance, the dark appearance to the inner consciousness, inner subtle consciousness. And after that, when that stage is over, and then when we enter into the eighth stage of the dissolution, that is named the ceasing of that consciousness that existed in that stage, the seventh stage, or the seventh that was produced through the seventh dissolution. That ceases its function, and as a result of ceasing its function, the subtlest form of mind that exists, the subtlest form of mind that exists in the universe, get activated, and it becomes functional. And when it becomes functional, It has this appearance, very special appearance, named the clear light. And at that stage, the subtlest form of mind is named the clear light, and it has an appearance where an empty sphere appears to it, free from any kind of polluting or any kind of contaminating factors. And those factors are the brightness of the sunlight, brightness of the moonlight, and darkness, free from all of these three things. Now the example here is taken, the autumn sky at the moment of just before the dawn. Just before the dawn, probably around, now it depends on different parts of the world, but anyhow, we probably in this country it could be very difficult to experience that, especially in a kind of lifestyle that you live. You live a very kind of busy country, a kind of city lifestyle, metropolitan city lifestyle, you know, where it's very rare to wake up that early and watch the kind of natural change, the change of nature in that early stage. So normally it may happen around quite early time before the sunrise, around 4 or 5 o'clock, but it depends on different areas. In that, at that stage, there will be a brightness, a natural brightness, which is not the actual sun, kind of sunlight, and which is also not the moonlight, and which is also at this stage, there will be a natural appearance of brightness, free from the darkness. So that kind of natural brightness appears to that clear light, or that surface form of the mind, and which is named the clear light of the depth. And that is the stage which is named, which is labeled as depth, according to the scripture, according to the highest Yoga Tantra scripture. Even in other scriptures, they don't address this issue. So many of these nouns are very specific to the highest Yoga Tantra teachings and highest Yoga Tantra treaties. It doesn't exist in any other category of treaties. It doesn't, normally it doesn't exist in the normal common Buddhist teachings about perfection of wisdom, or the sutra teachings, and any other various types of teachings. It doesn't exist. It is a very unique vocabulary that is employed by the highest Yoga Tantra teachings. And the employment of these vocabulary have a different purpose behind it. Each vocabulary have its own definition and its own specific meanings. So that is very important to understand. And then, after that, this appearance is like that of a consciousness in meditative equipoise directly realizing emptiness. But this is an example. But example itself is very difficult to understand. Examples should be, or analogy should be, something that could be much easier to understand compared to the meaning that we are looking for to convey through that presentation of that example. But in certain cases, these examples itself becomes a kind of like a riddle, you know. Especially to a modern man or modern woman who live in a country, who lives in a metropolitan city, where they are in reality gone very far away from nature. So most of these examples are taken from the nature. So it's a, it becomes a sudden occasion. It becomes, it appears like it's a, it by itself. The examples are becoming a kind of a riddle or in kind of a, another difficult thing to understand. So, but then the clear light of the death happens to everyone. Everyone, as long as that person has this basic. Now, this is explained based on those human beings who does have those six constituents in their body. This is explained based on the that based on that foundation. Now, in general, the clear light of the death happens to everyone, every living being, when they go through the death. There is no exception to anyone. Will it be an ant? Will it be an kind of any kind of animal? Will it be any kind of, you know, heavenly beings, whatever it is? The stage of the clear light happens to them when they go through the death. But then this process of dissolution is unique to the human being whose body contains those or are built up of those six constituents. Those I explained earlier. But then it doesn't mean that when the untrained person get into the stage of the clear light, death clear light, they realize emptiness. It doesn't mean that. To a common person, an empty sphere appears to his or her mind, but they cannot realize the emptiness. But for a highly kind of a trained practitioner, it is possible to do that. But that is how to do that. That can be only explained in the Tantra. And that is a whole lot of method and instructions to learn. And it cannot be revealed unless someone have taken the tantric initiations, especially the highest yoga tantra initiations. So look at this thing like a, you know, maybe I heard such comment in past. They say Tibetan masters, they keep the kind of most precious secret to themselves, and they keep on kind of they keep on disbursing the common information to the public. But it is not like that. There are conditions. Everywhere it goes like that. The more powerful information and more effective information comes with some kind of responsibility. If someone is a nuclear scientist, that person has a huge responsibility. If someone is a kind of a atomic bomb designer, that person has a huge responsibility. And that person needed to be protected, unless it could be dangerous. Why do your country spend millions of dollars in protecting your president? If the president is held up in kind of a, kidnapped and a hostage, that could be a kind of a huge problem. There are a whole lot of secret information that can be known only by the president. So these types of things are there. It's not that the monks and the Tibetan lamas keep the secret because of kind of they're not willing to share it. It could be more dangerous than not sharing it if it was shared. So for that reason, These information can be shared only with those persons who take an initiation and take commitments and become responsible to live a specific type of lifestyle. It's like that. So it should not be misunderstood, you know. So there are certain information it cannot be shared. So there are basic things that there may not be that kind of problem. So I'm just trying to get there. So with respect to the cause of the clear light appearance, the white and red drops dissolve into the white and red and all the winds inside the central channel dissolve into the very subtle light. Through this, the very subtle wind and mind that have manifested or made manifest whereby such as appearance downs, this is not in case of appearance of vacuous sky from the outside. Of course, it's like I earlier explained, that is called the clear light of death. And the all empty, the label is given like that. It is actual death. So that is the actual death. The reason why it is labeled with these two names, the clear light of death and all empty, because of being devoid of the 80 conceptions and of appearance, increase and near attainment, as well as of the winds that serve as their mounts. I just happened to pronounce the name in an Australian way, Naim. So I was laughing within. The Australians have a very distinct way of pronouncing, you know. They say die, something like that, you know. So this is the basic truth body, the actual death. So-called because it is the basis of purification to be transformed into the truth body. Now this truth body is kind of a highest yoga tantra vocabulary. To understand that, you need to study the Anhesayas Yoga Tantra, and you won't get any explanation of that in the other texts. Even if it is there, that could be very different. The vacuity is called the basic nature body, and the mind that takes it as its object is called the basic realization wisdom truth body. Ordinary humans, all these are coming from the tantric vocabulary, so we cannot get deep into that. So here, however, in cases where the physical constituents have been severely consumed by the disease or damaged by the disease, the sign of the red and white constituents do not occur, no matter how many days passes. So that is a kind of exception to this normal process of death. And also it is said that yogis with higher and lower realization can mix the clear light with the truth body and remain in this for a greater or lesser number of days. That is a very common thing in the monastic communities. Those highly realized persons can remain in that state for months and for kind of weeks. And recently, probably many of you may have known, Venerable Geshe-la remained in that state for days. So it's like that. But for a common person, they may just pass through that. They can remain in that for moments, maybe seconds. So it's dependent on. So there is a way how to transform this process of death into path, and it is only explained in the Tantra. It cannot be explained here. So that is the stage of death. Now after the death, what happens. Now, after the death, it depends on how long they remain in that final stage, the stage of the clear light, as I explained. Maybe a practitioner could remain there for a month. And there are stories, there are kind of, not just a kind of stories, it's a life stories of great yogis who may remain in that state for many months. And there are stories, but not just very far away, in past 50 years, that certain Buddhist yogis or the kind of practitioner remained in that state for months. And recently, in the past few years, there was one of the great garden keeper who passed away probably 3 or 4 years ago, and he remained in that state for few weeks. So it's very common for the practitioners, highly achieved and realized practitioners. Now once, will it be a kind of commoner or will it be a practitioner? Once they are out of that state, then that's the process begins to get into the intermediate stage or intermediate state. Now the process goes back. It's a reversal process. The person goes through those stages up to the death, as death is the final stage. And then to get to the intermediate stage, they need to have the reversal process, where the subtlest form of mind gradually will gain the coarseness, and it will get to a next stage of coarseness. And from there, it will get to next stage of coarseness. And next stage, it is known reversal stage of the kind of development of mind or evolution of mind. So then finally, when they get to certain coarse level of mind, then that is named the kind of intermediate state. And from that onward, the mind or the consciousness will move in search of a place to take birth for. Now, if it is a highly realized practitioner, they can directly move up somewhere in the Pure Land and those types of things. And then they can take birth in those places. And or it is based upon their choice. If they choose to return back to the world in order to help the beings, in order to guide the sentient beings, in the Dharma practice, they can come back. It's completely up to their choice. While a commoner may be derived, a commoner may be guided by their karmas. And it could be possible that they may be reborn as a kind of animals, or they may be reborn as something else. So these are the differences. At the end of the howsoever long the mind of clear light abides without any movement, the slight movement that is the mere quiver occurs, that is a mere quiver occurs within, this initiates the rising from the clear light. At this point, a very subtle wind and mind leave the open drop of the white and red constituents at the heart and pass outside. The body is left and the body of the intermediate state is established. Now the body of the intermediate state is a very subtle one. It is not a coarse body like that of ours. It is a transparent and it is a subtle and it is a very kind of powerful. It cannot be obstructed by any kind of physical things. It can move directly through the mountains and the rivers and then kind of any kind of solid things. So that is a very special characteristic of the body of the intermediate state. Simultaneously, the white constituent at the heart descends and emerges from the point of the male or female sign, female organ, while the red constituent rises and emerges from the nose. The wind that serves as the mount of clear light death and has the five lights acts as substantial causes of the body of the intermediate state. So, according to the tantric highest yoga tantra, the essence of the universe is universe, everyone's universe, you know. Everyone have a universe, everyone have their own world. Is the subtle wind and the subtle mind or subtle consciousness. That is the essence. And everything comes out of it. And everything goes back into it. And that is what we say, the elaborations of the wind, subtle mind and subtle wind. Whatever we are manifesting at present is an elaborate manifestation of the subtle wind and subtle mind, subtle wind and subtle mind. When our life comes to end, though all those elaborations have kind of, vanished into that point, the beginning point. And once again, when we manifest back into the form of human being or any kind of a coarse living being, then it will be manifested once again from that. So, it's like that. And wind and the subtle consciousness and subtle wind, in reality, in subtle consciousness and subtle wind, is not no two different identity. There doesn't exist two different substances down there. It is just from the perspective of the functioning, the two different names are given. Because this consciousness has this capacity to move, active, function, move. So it's given the name wind. And the very consciousness which does have this capacity to understand, know, so given the name consciousness or the mind. So there is no really, if we go down to the depth, there is no really two different substances, like an external material substance existing there. So the reality is, in real terms, the mind itself, the subtlest form of mind, is the source of everything. And when everything comes to end, it goes back into it. You know, how do they say, science? Say everything is coming out from Big Bang, and then everything can go back into the kind of a black hole, you know. So, but it's a kind of theory, you know. Cannot be proved. It's very difficult to prove those theories. But this is based on some kind of experiential knowledge of the great yogis. So it's like that. But the life-bearing wind also acts as a cooperative cause of mind of the intermediate state. So after that, when the subtle mind is moved or shaken from its original point, then it becomes more coarse and coarse, and then after that it produces the body of the intermediate state. As soon as the body of the intermediate state is produced, that is the the intermediate state that one is living. Now, the order is, in this reversal order, it goes through the same reversal stages of the eight states: clear light, radiant black near attainment, radiant red increase, radiant white appearance, flame of the burning lamp, fireflies like, and smoke and mirage. It goes back in that stage. So the thing is important thing is the death, as soon as the state of the death is stopped, then appears the intermediate state. It is spontaneous. Intermediate state may never appear as long as the state of the death, clear light, is existing. As soon as it is out of that boundary, then the appearance of the production of the intermediate state happens. So then, being this being, as long as we are in the state of the intermediate state, as a human being, as a living being, what we do is we rush to search or seek a birthplace, and it eats odors for its nourishment. And having a very subtle mental body, which is achieved from wind alone, and having abandoned the coarse body of elements with heavy and gross flesh, blood, and so forth, it is called the basic enjoyment body. This is another vocabulary of the highest yoga tantra path. It is also called the smell eater because it feeds on the odor. That is another kind of epithet, another name, another kind of reference how we use to the intermediate state. So it's very clear in the highest yoga tantra teachings and the basic Mahayana teachings that the existence of an intermediate state after the death, it is explained and taught many times. But it is a we cannot say that it is not a controversial point. Within the Buddhist schools, there were disagreement on this issue. There were certain Buddhist philosophical schools who don't agree with the existence of intermediate state. They claim that it was just an imaginative projection of certain schools and scholars. But in the Buddhist Mahayana Sutras, and especially in the Tantric treatise, it's very clearly explained about this, and many of these teachings are experiential teachings. But it's interesting to know how those other schools who don't agree with the existence of intermediate state, how they can explain some important factors. Like the transfer of the consciousness from one point to another point. The Mahayana Buddhist concept is, if a person dies here, at this spot, and from this spot, after dying here, according to Buddhist teachings, it is highly possible that that very person can be reborn in India. If there is no intermediate state, how can that person's mind, the consciousness, be transferred to that point? We have to accept the fact that there is a gap in between, and this gap needed to be covered or traveled. And how can it be traveled if there is no existence of, if The intermediate state doesn't exist. It could be interesting to have their version of explanation, but anyhow, up to this point, I never had any discussion with that. Maybe in future there could be possibilities. It is heard that the Theravadin tradition, they don't agree with that, the existence of intermediate state. So, according to Mahayana tradition, it is like that. So this is a very, very strong reason. The existence of... If it doesn't go like that, then it could be very difficult to say, like, how people can get reborn. If a person have to move from this point to this point, of course there will be a gap. There is no way that you can, without kind of traveling that gap, you can get there. You know, there are kind of imaginative concepts like time transfer. Time transfer? That's a concept in the United States. I don't think that's a reality. Maybe that's a fantasy. It's good to show on the televisions. If someone gets transferred from the West Bank, kind of a southern bank of, how to say that? What is that, Arizona? They do have a huge gorge?
Grand Canyon.
Someone is transferred from the southern bank of Grand Canyon to the northern bank of Grand Canyon. They show like that. This could be kind of, good to entertain, you know? Good to entertain, of course. To entertain, you can do anything. So it's just to kill the time of that people who's watching that. But truth is something different, you know? So, in true reality, if there is a gap of just 1 inch, it needed to be transferred from that point to that point. There needed to be some kind of connection, how to transfer it. So that is a very kind of a strong reason according to Mahayana Buddhism philosophy, the Mahayana Buddhist teachings. The existence of intermediate state exists. If it doesn't exist, it cannot be kind of explained how it moved from one place to another. Then if one can move, one cannot move from one place to another, one point to another, then the whole theory of karma and its result cannot stand. One is going to be reborn at the same point every time. How can it stand? So it's connected to each other, you know? There are a whole lot of such things. So, the characteristics of the intermediate state is very important to know. It is not explained in detail here, the characteristic of intermediate state. When a person enters into that intermediate state, what could be the appearance of that person in intermediate state? If it is going to be an intermediate state to be kind of reborn in a human being in future, then that intermediate state, the appearance, the physical appearance of that being in the intermediate state may resemble a human being. If it is a intermediate state that is kind of destined to born into a dog, then that intermediate state, the physical appearance of that intermediate state could be resembling the dog. This is the shape, in terms of shape. In terms of color, the text says that the complexion, the color of the intermediate state in terms of appearance, if it is, if that intermediate state is destined to be born into a heavenly being, then it could be yellowish, golden color. And if it is destined to born in human being, it could be white. And if it is designed to be born in lower realms, it could be dark. And then, as I explained earlier, the physical structure or the body of the intermediate being is made up of lights. It is not a solid bone and flesh and such things. It is made up of light. And it is transparent. And it can move without being obstructed by anything except the womb of the mother, where it gets stuck by the strength of the karma. When they get to this specific point where their karma is so strong that they need to be born there and they cannot move, they get stuck over there. And then the way how it walks, it is said that the intermediate state, which is destined to born in the heavenly realms, may move upward. Intermediate state, which is destined to born in human realm, move straight, forward and backward and straight. Intermediate state that is destined to born in lower realms may move downward. And especially intermediate state, which is destined to move in the hell, will be moving downward with head upside down. So these are the certain characteristics about intermediate states. And as it has explained, while a being is in the intermediate state, an intermediate being, they just they just treat their hunger through consuming the odor, eating odor, the smells. So in Tibetan tradition, after a common person is dead, they do offer the smells for 49 days. It is believed that persons in the intermediate state will definitely return back, and when they come back, they can have enough plenty to eat for. They make a small fire and then add some substances mixed up of the barley flour and then butter and some other substances, and they just add it into that fire, and it produces a specific smell. It is believed that those beings out there in that stage can consume it and get contented. So the characteristic of the intermediate state, being in the intermediate state, is a searching, a being just in a search, just in a search of a place to birth, place to be born or get born, just wandering and searching for a place to be born. And as soon as they get to that state, that place, that point where they are kind of destined to born by the strength of their karma, they get to that point and they get stuck over there. Now, if someone is destined to born as a human being, we are explaining this situation according to the normal circumstances, common normal circumstances. They need to come They need to meet conditions. They need to meet conditions that a man and woman is getting into the sexual kind of intercourse. And the intermediate state, being in the intermediate state, get into that point. And the being in the intermediate state, as soon as they see, they can see us very well, but we cannot see them unless we have the kind of special eyes that can be acquired through meditation and practices. But the intermediate beings within themselves, they can see each other, but we cannot see them with our bare eyes, with our common eyes or ordinary eyes. So when they see those people copulating, they may feel a sense of desire. And driven by that sense of desire, they get stuck into that point. If that intermediate state or intermediate being in that intermediate state is destined to be born as a woman, they may have a desire to sleep with that man that is engaging into that act of copulation. If it is destined to born as a boy, they may have that desire to kind of sleep with that woman engaging into kind of activities of the copulation. And that very moment, they get stuck into that point and they cannot move anymore. And that is the death of the intermediate state and intermediate being. And that point onward is named the rebirth. So first moment of the first second of rebirth begins with a desire, sense of desire. So it is said in text, the birth is delusive. So that is the intermediate state. And now we are going to stop here for this session. And the details of intermediate state is exactly same in Tantra as it is explained in the other treatises. Like the Abhidharma Samuchya of the of Asanga, and Abhidharma Kosha of Vasubandhu. Details of the kind of the intermediate state, the being in the intermediate state, is exactly same. There is nothing special explained in the tantric treatise. But the process of that is very unique to the tantric treatise. We will never get those information in any sutra treatise. Okay, so we are going to stop here, and after that we will get back in the next session, okay?
Sange shundu mide phewa rogu namda shu mende lagan niya daya mi.
Okay, if you are hungry, treat yourself. Treat yourself and have a very good lunch, okay? A lot of people looking for brunch. A very famous concept in the United States. Brunch. I never even knew that word exists before I came to the United States, you know. After coming to the United States, I knew that word. Brunch. Okay.